I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I have no doubt that there were illegal activities engaged in by Burisma. As a matter of fact, the criminal case had been started before me. It continued to expand. And Zlochevsky, who at the time held the post of minister and was the founder and CEO of Burisma, started bringing in people who could provide protection for him. Hunter Biden was among them. And the corruption network expanded as a result. So, yes, to answer your question, there's no doubt in my mind that Burisma was engaged in illegal activities.
Devin Archer said you were a threat to Burisma. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Why? Because you were going to find out what they were up to?
Because he understood, and so did Vice President Biden, that had I continued to oversee the Burisma investigation, we would have found the facts about the corrupt activities that they were engaging in that included both Hunter Biden and Devin Archer and others.
That was Victor Shokin doing an interview with Brian Kilmeade about what he knew about Burisma and how he was pulled off the job, and pointing out that I think if I'd been allowed to continue the inquiry, I would have uncovered evidence involving Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. But that came to a halt. We all remember that. We remember Vice President Biden, although later after he was Vice President, bragging to the National Foreign Affairs Committee saying, I told them, I made it clear, you want that $1 billion? Obama gave me the check. I can write it to you. I can give you the clearance. But I'm not going to give it to you unless you fire that prosecutor investigating Burisma, Victor Shokin. He said, well, by damn, they did fire that SOB. And the Foreign Relations Council laughed. Do you remember the term quid pro quo coming up during the alleged Russian collusion against Trump? Quid pro quo. What did he get in return for doing this? Here's the most obvious quid pro quo, and even acknowledged and admitted by Joe Biden. Have I seen the leftist state-controlled media? I know some don't like that term. Larry, we don't have a state-controlled media. I wouldn't be so sure. You want to call them mainstream? Fine. You want to call them legacy? Fine. Do not call them journalists. That I will fight you tooth and nail over. They're not journalists. They don't ask the questions until they clear them with the White House. They don't get called on by the president unless he's on their call list. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, August 28, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. This is the going to say the most unique. That's a phrase that's overused and it's redundant. It's either unique or it's not. But this program is unique to any other talk show. This thing is built almost like a newscast. We're giving you facts. We're giving you details. And I'm giving you commentary. But I always give you sources and I always challenge you to check me out. I don't mind. I spent decades building on my credibility. And I stand by it. Unless you're playing poker with me, I might. You know. Well, I don't bluff. I don't bluff. I misread my hand sometimes when I have to show it. Oh, I thought I had pocket aces. You had an 8-3. How do you think it was aces? Well, I don't know. But also remind you in case you miss this program, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up, listen to it, share it with your friends, even your enemies. Same thing for the video stream that's on underway when we're on the air. We are streaming at NewsTalk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and we're streaming at Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. So Victor Shokin in that interview with Brian Kilmeade was saying, you know, it's, I don't know, I wasn't able to carry out, but I had no doubt that there were things to be found. But he never got a chance to do it. One of the IRS whistleblowers, Gary Shapley, was having a conversation with Maria and talking about how things began to come undone when they tried to investigate Hunter Biden.
You just have to look at what he allowed to occur during this investigation. There are key witnesses we weren't allowed to interview, that we weren't allowed to ask all the questions of certain people we interviewed. People were tipped off that we were coming before the day of action. There were enforcement operations, to include search warrants, where probable cause was agreed to by the prosecutors that weren't allowed to happen.
Well, that was IRS criminal investigation special agent turned whistleblower Gary Shapley joined me yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures on how the Biden administration blocked key witnesses from testifying against President Biden's son, Hunter. This is former top Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin told Fox News this weekend that Hunter Biden was recruited by Burisma to, quote, provide protection while the company engaged in illegal activities. Shokin said Joe Biden took bribes.
Joe Biden took bribes. That's what Shokin said. The proof. The proof. You still had to have that. I don't care how much you hate Biden. You can't just accept the word of Shokin or anyone else. You need substantial proof. So Michigan Congressman McCain says, you look at everything that Shokin has been saying and also what the IRS and FBI whistleblowers were saying about how they were blocked at every turn, it follows a pattern.
It fits exactly in line with what we thought was true and then with what the evidence was true. So in the Oversight Committee, and I have to give credit to Jamie Comer, I have to give credit to these whistleblowers, you start with a concept that something just doesn't seem right. Then you go and you do some investigations with the bank records, with the IRS records, with the whistleblowers, with actual people who were in the room to corroborate the story. And what we're finding is everything that we thought is true, that this is a corrupt administration, a corrupt president that is using his positional power, and his family is using his positional power to make money and really put the American people at risk. We have the forensic evidence. The whistleblowers have come forward. At the end of the day, this is corruption at its finest, and we can't even get the DOJ to prosecute.
That's the issue. That's the biggest issue right there. Not the biggest, but it is a big issue. The DOJ will not carry out a prosecution. Why? Well, you got A.G. Merrick Garland, Mealy Mouth Garland. I don't know. I want to share, but Biden hasn't told me. I can't. Mealy Mouth, show some gonads and do your J-O-B, DOJ, which should stand for Department of Injustice. But there you're hearing Michigan Congresswoman Lisa McCain talking about all this backs up our suspicions. Why isn't the DOJ doing it? And to that extent, she said, we're getting impatient. And even Maria said, we want to see an impeachment process.
I think if you hang on just a little bit longer, I think you'll see it really quickly. What we're doing is instead of what our colleagues do on the other side of the aisle is get their 15 minutes of fame and impeach on a whim. What we're actually doing is gathering facts, gathering a case. We've done more in the last 5.5-6 months since we've started this investigation than the whole DOJ has done in the past 5.5-6 years. So what we're doing is we're doing an impeachment investigation, right? We are getting our facts, getting the bank records, getting the SARS reports, getting the testimony. So then when it does come time to impeach, right, we only have a 4-vote margin. We know it's going to be tough, but we will actually have a forensic fact-based case to show the American people, and it won't be on a whim. So be patient for just a little bit longer.
Much contrary to what Adam Schiff was doing. Every time he come out of the closed-door meeting, oh, we got him nailed. We got a witness. Never heard the witness. We got facts. We got evidence. Never saw the facts, the evidence. He was circusing. Dog and pony show every day. Nothing to back it up. Back to Victor Shokin and his interview with Brian Kilmeade.
Why were you fired from your position by President Poroshenko?
I have said repeatedly in my previous interviews that Poroshenko fired me at the insistence of the then Vice President Biden because I was investigating Burisma.
So did President Poroshenko tell you that he wanted you to stay on the job, but there was pressure from Vice President Biden?
You understood me correctly. This is how it was. There were no complaints whatsoever, no problems with how I was performing at my job. But because pressure was repeatedly put on President Poroshenko, that is what ended up in him firing me.
But you know what? There was additional pressure on Shokin. There's been documentation that he was poisoned twice with mercury. How it got into his system, somebody jabbed him while he was on a subway, he was going through a crowd, slipped it into his food, poisoned twice with mercury, which could have led to his death. Renal failure and other things of that nature, but he survived. They didn't put him on the plane with Rozoskin. Which, by the way, back to that, we discussed it the first hour. If you missed it, you need to pull up that program talking about the plane crash. There is one scene. Remember, the plane supposedly exploded in the air, and that noise caught the attention of those on the ground. They looked up, and they saw the plane coming down in flames. One wing is fairly intact, like it just separated from the plane. Now, I'm not a metallurgical expert. I'm not even an aviation expert. But methinks that's strange that the entire wing comes down. If the wing broke from the fuselage, there would have been fuel spilled and would lead to fire and explosions. But, and it had been verified apparently by DNA that Rozoskin was on board. No word yet if Putin is going to attend his funeral, by the way. Back to Shokin. What was his reaction to Biden bigfooting his operation?
What are your thoughts when you saw the tape of Vice President Biden speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations saying you had 6 hours to fire you or you're not going to get the $1 billion.
Not only the position of President Poroshenko, the office of President Poroshenko was humiliated, but the entire country of Ukraine was humiliated. And I developed a very firm understanding of the fact that the vice president was only acting in his own interests. He, generally speaking, handled Ukraine like it was his own backyard. He would put people that were suitable for him. He would arrange for them to be put in certain positions.
Why were you looking into Burisma?
The reason I oversaw the Burisma case was because I was the prosecutor general. Burisma was an ordinary case. There wasn't anything particularly different about it. The reason that I was handling it was because it deserved a special mention. It was on a list of cases to merit special attention because Hunter Biden was involved with Burisma, and of course his father, the Vice President Biden at the time, oversaw Ukraine affairs for the White House.
Now, the double voices you were hearing there was a translator translating for Shokin. Yeah, his daddy was vice president of the White House. So that really says everything, doesn't it? And yet, it seems to be of no interest to the leftists, the state-controlled media. I don't care. You go after Trump all you want, whatever you've got, and if he's guilty, so be it. But how can you be a, quote, you hate using this word for these guys, a journalist, and ignore a story that is right in your face? You're as inept as a reporter who is sent to cover the mayor's speech, and he comes back to the newsroom, and the newsrec says, well, what did the mayor say? What did he say? Well, he didn't say anything. Why? Well, because he was shot as he walked up the stage, so I don't have a story. You got a story. You're ignoring it. You're stupid. And then there's one other aspect of this issue. We've had the Washington Post, the Washington Times, even the Wall Street Journal suggesting that Shokin is as corrupt as those he was supposedly investigating.
I would appreciate if any of these highly respectable publications could come up with a single instance or a single example of my personal corruption or any offense whatsoever allegedly committed by me.
Why don't you sue then? Why don't you sue these publications for defamation?
I would gladly do that, but suing somebody costs money, and I simply don't have the money to do that because I'm a retiree and my monthly pension constitutes the equivalent of $800.
Has this damaged America's reputation in Ukraine?
There is no doubt that his actions have damaged the U.S. reputation in Ukraine. It is public knowledge. Everybody knows that it was because of Joe Biden's actions that Russia was able to claim Crimea without firing a single shot, which of course eventually led to a full-scale war that is currently underway.
Yeah, but Russia, Putin saw Obama's not going to do anything, and his lackey Biden, he won't do anything. I hate to remind you, but that's 4 years of no Trump. That's what you get. Coming up, Mark McCloskey from his program, Mark McCloskey on Fire. You're going to hear some of these comments. Lock and load. Ready on the run. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Glad to have on board with us Mark McCloskey. He has his program on Saturday, Saturday, I'm sorry, Mark, from 6 to 7. Mark McCloskey on fire, and boy, you were this last weekend. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Larry?
Well, you had a couple of guests. You were actually off your normal beat. I mean, you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you were getting into UFOs and politics and cover-ups and theology.
Well, you know, you got to shake them up occasionally.
That's right. Roll the dice, blow on them one more time. But let's just get, again, for a lot of folks who don't recount, they know the name, they know some of what you and Patty went through when a bunch of the Black Lives Matters activists came down your street. There was dispute over if they had actually broken the gate or not. I'm not going to get into that. But the pictures that came out were you and her on your porch, never aiming a weapon at them, but you were not sure what was going to happen. And for that, you got charged. You had your weapons taken away. Where's that stand now?
Well, you know, to make a long story short, Kim Gardner, the Soros-funded prosecutor, used us in her campaign literature, so we got her and the entire city circuit attorney's office bounced off the case for bias. Then the new prosecutor came in, dropped the felony charges. Governor Parson had promised to pardon us from the get-go, but under Missouri law, you can't get pardoned until you actually get convicted of right. something. So we pled to some Class C misdemeanors, paid our fines. But then they took the guns we used that day, and we're still fighting to get those back. I've got that on appeal right now.
Yeah, that was my next question. I did not think you had the guns yet. Yeah. And that is, what's the appeal process? How long should that take?
Well, you know, it's, that's a good question. We filed our appellate brief about a month ago. The defendants have about another month to, which is the circuit attorney's office of Missouri.
This happened way last year, didn't it?
Well, the event happened June 28th of 2020.
Yeah.
They seized our guns on July the 8th, I think, of 2020. And we resolved all this stuff. I think the governor pardoned us, what is that, 2 years ago or one year ago?
You're 2 years. You're right.
2 years ago. So it's been a long time. And I suspect we won't get an answer from the Court of Appeals for another 6 to 8 months. And so, and then, of course, you know, depending on how that turns out, then we can go up and ask the Missouri Supreme Court to take a look at it. But, you know, it seems to me that when the governor pardons us and restores all of our rights and removes all disadvantages, I kind of figure that having my weapons taken from me was a disadvantage.
Well, yeah, I mean, since you felt now you're exposed, and they know you're exposed, that was the other issue. Now,
yeah, but of course they just took the two guns we were using that
day.
They didn't.
Right.
They didn't do anything totally damaging.
Very quickly, clarify: were the guns even active and usable at that point, or was one, or you know, just for show?
Well, mine definitely wasn't, but the one that Patty had, we'd used it as a prop in litigation, and it had been disabled. And they took it apart and reassembled it to make it function. So. An interesting sidelight.
All right, you're listening to Mark McCloskey from his program, Mark McCloskey on Fire, 5 to 6 on News Talk STL. This has given you a platform to really get some things off your chest. And let me give you one of the latest in your thoughts, because I thought I might hear it yesterday, but you had your other guests and you were dealing with that, and I understand. It's apparent Biden is making it clear that he's getting ready to issue new orders to take vaccines. And in fact, the latest word is exactly that, going to order a COVID booster for all Americans this fall. All Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the actual phrase was with the hope that we guessed right this time. was the exact words used by Pfizer, right? With the hope that we've guessed right. So yeah, we want to compel everybody to take a vaccine, which we don't know if it'll work against a disease that may or may not exist when the last version of it may or may not be causing the sudden death of thousands or millions around the world. So that sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, you also have Kaiser Permanente in California and other hospitals in California, and some in New York already saying, oh, you're going to have to mask up when you come in. But I've seen a report from a national group of epidemiologists and others who said back in April of this year, the masks do no good, and they're not, should not be required in hospitals for patients or staff.
Well, of course, Dr. Fauci eventually admitted that he lied when he said that masks were effective. But, you know, we were out there at the county council meetings every Tuesday night when our illustrious county executive, I still live in, you know, city, but a county executive was enforcing mask mandates. Well, he's an anesthesiologist, and I was pointing out to him with fairly colorful language that silly piece of cloth that he had across his mouth would never, if he ever tried to go into the operating theater with that on his face, they'd throw him out in a heartbeat. Because, you know, we're talking viruses here, and the viruses are so small that the mesh of these typical, of the fabric masks, is like trying to trap a ping pong ball by putting out a web the size of the Western Hemisphere. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, their general point is, well, look at all these operating rooms. They all have masks on. Well, they now have full shields back during MASH days and so forth. Yeah, that was the only thing they knew. But this mainly to keep stuff, body fluids, from splashing onto their face and their eyes.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the typical thing that you see, particularly with kids, I can't tell you how many times when I'd go into some place where they pretended to have a mask mandate, we typically refused to do business any place where they required a mask. But you see the people there with a mask down below their nose or hooked under their chin. Yep. Kids, of course, can't wear a mask properly. If you have an N95 mask and it's fitted properly, as long as none of the air that you breathe or exhale goes out the side of that mask, it may marginally affect something, but the vast majority of environments, the mask is completely worthless. And Dr. Fauci eventually admitted lying to us about that. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know. And you've seen all these videos where somebody sneezes whilst wearing one of these masks, and the stuff goes every place.
Oh, wait. I have a breaking story here. Hang on, Mark. Here it is. You will now all be ordered to live in a bubble. You don't buy my breaking news?
It'd be hard to get that hot dog past you at the ballpark, wouldn't it?
Now, you know, the other thing is, though, I know you're speaking of Sam Page of St. Louis County for the audience beyond this border. But if he orders businesses to shut down as he did and special distancing, that's going to destroy these economies all over again, and people want to work. And then the Zoom learning for the kids. And remember when St. Louis County, which is bordered to the north by Missouri River, folks were simply going across the river and dining and eating. And I understand that at one point he showed up with a group of people to dine and eat on the north side of the Missouri in St. Charles County.
Yeah, well,
and yeah. He was denied. The owner said, no, you can't come in here.
Yeah. Well, you know, the rules are only for us poor peasants. But, of course, the whole point of all this is to weaken the economy and make people frightened and dependent. You know, I say this all the time. I call the COVID-19 lockdowns the final exam on American freedom. I always figured that at some point in our lives, FEMA would create some kind of faux emergency and declare martial law and put us all under house arrest and tell us we couldn't go to work and we couldn't go to school and we couldn't go to church and we couldn't go see our own grandparents dying in the nursing home. But I figured they'd have to put a gun to our heads to make us comply. And then the government just said it in March of 2020, and everybody just did it. I mean, what more proof of how absolutely cowed the American people have become than the people would voluntarily give up their livelihoods, give up their life savings, not be able to watch the birth of their own children, not be able to worship their God, not be able to see their parents and grandparents pass away in nursing homes. And even the sheep in Australia took to the streets and protested, but not in America. In America, we all just sat in our little homes and went, whatever the government tells us.
And in the beginning, there was legitimate concern and fear trying to figure out what do we got, what do we should be doing. But I think after 2 weeks, 2 months max, it's not anything different than what we've normally been dealing with, the flu and everything that come forward.
And then they have to lie to us about every aspect of it.
Well, they were controlling.
Yeah, yeah. Like COVID-related deaths, right? The CDC's definition of a COVID-related death is if within 6 weeks of the time you died, you had been diagnosed with or had symptoms consistent with COVID. For example, you could be killed in a motorcycle accident, yep. And if you went to the doctor the day before and had a temperature over 101 and were coughing, that's a COVID-related death.
Mark, have you ever gotten a vaccine?
No, I never will.
I'm going to tell you I did, only because we had a relative about 15 years younger than me, in good health. He came down with it and died within 4 days. And so my daughters insisted that I get the COVID shot. I did it only reluctantly, but in honor to them, and I promised them. And I still got COVID. I got the booster. I got COVID. I got COVID again. I think I might have had it less than 10 days ago. It just, you know, it's going to be with us forever right now. But how it's being weaponized, I'll give you the last 30 seconds.
Well, you know, President Biden said this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And they knew at that time that was a total lie. And how can you ever do business with or participate with a government that lies to you about life and death crises all the time? And this is, it's just a demonstration that the government is out there to manipulate and control and does not have our best interests at heart, but has the interests of power and tyranny at heart.
All right. Mark McCloskey on Fire. You can hear him right here on Newstalk STL, 5 to 6 Sundays. And Mark is always enjoyable and a powerful program. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Larry. Bye-bye.
You do it again. Mark McCloskey. Mark McCloskey on Fire. And he normally is. Get a fire extinguisher nearby. Coming up, maybe more DOJ hanky-panky. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I need to bring you up to speed on something here, and this is something I picked up over the weekend. I didn't have time to get a lot of time on it, as usual. I mean, I put a lot of these things together, and then I get ready to do them, and then something else pops up, and maybe I make good decisions on it. Maybe I make poor decisions. I'm just doing the best I can for you, and I appreciate your support, whatever I do. Now, this is one story I really wanted to spend some additional time and get this writer on board for this, just because of the subject matter. Margot Cleveland is a columnist, senior legal correspondent for The Federalist. She wrote this piece, and let me give you the headline. Exclusive. U.S. Attorney General Weiss. Are you ready? U.S. Attorney General Weiss colluded, I should say Attorney General, just U.S. Attorney, Special Prosecutor, I could say. U.S. Attorney Weiss colluded with DOJ to thwart congressional questioning, according to emails. The Heritage Foundation got a Freedom of Information lawsuit, a FOIA, and shared exclusively with the Federalist to show that on numerous occasions, not once, not twice, just a little something slipped under the transom, the Department of Justice intervened on behalf of Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss to respond to any congressional inquiries related to the Hunter Biden investigation. So the revelation raises more questions about that June 7, 2023 letter sent by House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan under Weiss's signature line, in which the Delaware U.S. Attorney claimed that he had, quote, ultimate authority over charging decisions related to Hunter Biden. Now, if you're going to tell the head of Judiciary Chair, I have ultimate authority, I can make decisions. Apparently not. It also then suggests that Weiss and the DOJ, the Department of Injustice, to conspire to mislead Congress. Certainly indicates that. Did the DOJ's Office of Legislative Affairs respond to Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson's May 9, 2022 letter seeking information concerning the Hunter Biden investigation? Remember when they sent that out? Weiss apparently posed the question, did we do anything concerning the Hunter Biden investigation? He posed that question to one of his lead assistant U.S. attorneys, Shannon Hansen. And Hansen replied, not to my knowledge. What a cop-out. Followed soon after with a second email noting that Joe Gatta, the then Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legislative Affairs, was working on a response. You don't need a damn response. Just say, no, we didn't. Unless you're trying to walk around perjury charges. So Grassley and Johnson later addressed their inquiry solely to David Weiss in the Office of Legislative Affairs. And the DOJ office said, you can't talk to Weiss anymore. We're going to have the Department of Legislative Affairs intercede on his behalf. Another blockade. The following month, Grassley and Johnson sent another letter requesting information related to the Hunter Biden investigation. Now, this letter went to Weiss, also to Attorney General Mealy Mouth Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray, and again, the Office of the Legal Counsel intervened, telling Weiss's office in an email reviewed by the Federalist, it will take the lead on drafting a response to the letter. Do you see the game they're playing? Answer the damn question. You don't need to put up a phalanx of legal briefs and attachés between you and the target. But they did. These emails I'm describing to you, according to written by Margot Cleveland with the Federalist, have never been seen before. Never. Other than those they were destined to see. And they do establish, in her opinion, and she's a senior legal expert, they establish the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney working together to respond to congressional inquiries, and among the first batch of documents they gave the Heritage Foundation. So now the court order is requiring the DOJ to produce by August 25. Whoops, look at where we are now. All records collected from Weiss and Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf. Apparently looking at things right now, they've not been fully responded to. Isn't today August 25? Yes, it is. I'm not saying that it's been provided. Maybe it'll be coming in late tonight by carrier pigeon. You know, carrier pigeons take a while to get there. Lord help us, someone doesn't shoot them down thinking it's a dove. The emails also call into question the veracity of a series of exchanges between Weiss and Jordan, beginning with Weiss's June 7 response to the letter Jordan sent Garland. Now, I know these dates, when you're listening to it on radio, can get confusing. Let me clarify it very simply. I could care less about the dates. I care as to what happened with the action. Jordan had sent a letter in May to Garland. Are you guys letting him do his job, or are you interfering? And also questioned Garland, why did you take the IRS whistleblower off the Hunter Biden investigation? The House committee addressed that letter solely to the Attorney General, who responded, Weiss. Weiss apparently is going to fall on his own blade for them at this rate. He sent a letter stating, and I'm going to read the letter, your May 25th letter to Attorney General Garland was forwarded to me with a request that I respond on behalf of the department. Weiss then claimed that, as Garland had stated, the Delaware U.S. Attorney had been, quote, granted ultimate authority over this matter, including responsibility for deciding where, when, and whether to file charges, and for making decisions necessary to preserve, and I cannot believe they even stick this word in here, this word in the midst of this gobbledygook is blasphemous. The word they stick in that I'm criticizing, to make charges, decisions necessary to preserve the integrity of the prosecution. There's been no integrity in this thing at any point. It's been a scam. You might as well go into New York City, find the guy with the table set up, three walnut shells and hiding a pea under it, and see if you can make $100. They're going to let you win a couple. Going to get you to bet a little bit more. Or they'll have a shill come in and win the couple hundred. Then let you put your money down and, whoop, too bad. If you ask them to lift all the shells, you're not going to see the pea at all. Until he lifts it and slides the pea back in place. Weiss Weiss is continuing trying to explain and expand his way out of this thing. This guy, and again, after Merrick Garland said he has all the authority he needs, then why the hell did you need to appoint him as a special prosecutor? And when you appoint a special prosecutor, it should be an independent special prosecutor. That is a simple rule to follow. But these guys, they don't want to follow any rules and laws other than what they make up. One of these working on trying to get the cover blown apart on this thing and find out exactly what's going on with it. Mike Howe, who's director of the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project, said the only reason these documents are starting to trickle out is because we sued for transparency. The next round of responsive documents is due October 31. Let's assume they deliver what's due today. All right, let's switch gears. I like Carlos Santana. I've always liked his music, like a lot of it. Carlos Santana made a remark in New Jersey over the weekend that is now getting him smeared by the woke. He made spontaneous remarks during the week at a concert in New Jersey. Here's what Carlos Santana said. When God made you and me, before we came out of the womb, you know who you are and what you are. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. That's it. Whatever you want to do in the closet, that's your business. I'm okay with it. I'm like this with my brother Chappelle, saying that gender is created by God, not by your fictitious mind. So now they're smearing him for being anti-trans because he says a woman is a woman and a man is a man. And while supposed adults are arguing this, children are caught in the midst of it. That trans flag now has a section of white on it because they want to take the innocence of children and turn them into trans while they're still children. I want to take note of this. Did we have the president order the flags dropped to half staff anywhere in the nation in honor of the disaster and the tragedy in Hawaii? To let them know how much our nation cared about. Did we have any U.S. flags by order of the president to be lowered, be they on ship or on land, to have staff or have mass? Any? The answer would be no. But here's what they are doing. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agencies and employees received an email honoring National Breast Chest Feeding Month. According to this, August will be National Breast Chest Feeding Month. And they're also urging that to make sure everyone understands and to accommodate the woke left, the U.S. flag be ordered to half staff in honor of National Breast Chest Feeding Month. We did not do that for those who perished or remain missing in Maui. But the woke thought, you know, maybe we should have the flag at half staff for National Breast Chest Feeding Awareness Month. Breastfeeding by women, that's a common occurrence. Chest feeding by men, they're simply, once again, trying to control you. And if you dare go out there when it's a presidential order to lower the flag to half mast, half step, depending on ship or land, and you refuse to do it, you're violating a presidential order. Let me remind you of our First Amendment, One Nation Under God.